Hall & Wilcox acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us today.
Hello, welcome back to our Equity Capital Markets podcast, focusing on all things ECM. Today, we're talking about the draft 5th edition of the ASX Corporate Governance Principles and Recommendations. And I'm delighted to be joined by Chris Wright, a senior associate in our Brisbane office. Chris, welcome to the ECM podcast.
Thank you for having me, John.
You're welcome. So let's start with the basics. Just a reminder, what are the ASX Corporate Governance Principles and Recommendations? Who most cares about them and why are they so important?
Absolutely. So the Corporate Governance Principles and Recommendations are a set of recommendations put out by the Corporate Governance Council that listed companies need to report against in their annual reporting. A bit of a history, the Corporate Governance Council was formed all the way back in 2002, those long ago days, and they brought together a wide range of businesses, shareholders, industry groups, a whole range of stakeholders, so that each could offer unique insights into governance issues. The key job, some would say the only job of the council, is to maintain these principles. And about every 5 years, they put out a new edition. So yep. We have the 5th edition being consulted on at the moment.
So we're up to the draft 5th edition. So what's the status of that? So that's going through a consultation process. What's the window for consultation and how best should people get involved in that process if they wish?
It is. When this podcast is released, I believe the consultation process will have closed. It closed on the 6th of May. But I'm sure that the Corporate Governance Council would be very interested in any thoughts anyone had. So if after listening to this, you have a burning desire to put some feedback in, contact the council directly. Yeah. For those that did get in during the consultation process, submissions can be made on confidential basis and can be made by anyone. And the council has been very clear in their information sessions that they want to hear from everyone. They don't just want to hear from the listed companies who are doing reporting. They want all stakeholders to pitch in.
So I imagine that includes directors, advisors to companies, shareholder groups, all sorts of people.
Absolutely, yes.
And so let's move to the key changes or some of the key changes in this draft 5th edition. Maybe just briefly just run through what you see as the key changes people should look out for.
Absolutely. I think it is worth noting that while it is listed companies that need to report against these principles, there are other people who might care as well. Companies that are looking to become listed in the near future might care about these so they can start getting a leg up on what they need to be doing. People and companies that are looking for a form of best practice standard for governance might be interested in these principles. Yep. And new directors who are going to come onto a board at some time in the future, if you want to know as a new director what the governance standards are that you're expected to follow, these will be interesting as well. Yep. As a high level, the changes...
So Chris, just to close off, before we go to the key changes, just to close off, so when do you think the final version of the 5th edition will be released?
That is an excellent question, John. The indication at the moment is the final version will come out sometime at the start of 2025. And so it will apply to companies that have a financial year starting on and from the 1st of July 2025. That's the best guess of the council at the moment. They've said they're going to try and stick to that. It may change, but that's what they're expecting.
And we'll not expect any further consultation. Whatever comes out.
Correct. Whatever comes out of this consultation will be the final. Yeah. We are expecting there to be changes from the consultation draft to the final. In every other version that's come out and has gone through a consultation process, there have been changes. Yeah. I wouldn't expect drastic, but there will be changes made.
Okay. So, sorry, I rudely cut you off. Just on what you see is the key changes in the current draft.
Absolutely. So at a high level, the changes, there's nothing drastic here. I'll be honest with you, John, if you're looking for drastic revolutionary change, the 5th edition of corporate governance,
which I never am, anyway.
It may not be for you. The council in their consultation process has described this as an evolution, not a revolution. So they are updating things, but not drastically changing them. That said, they have changed some things, and it's worth us talking through those quickly. They've dropped back the number of recommendations that they have in these principles, going from 35 under the fourth edition to 33. Don't get excited. That doesn't mean people don't have to do things. They're removing matters that are covered by other items of Australian law. So things like needing to have and disclose a whistleblower policy, already covered under other Australian legislation. Of the matters that they have changed, I think the key ones are that there's an increased emphasis on stakeholder engagement and consultation, on the disclosure of material risks and the identification of those, on the board skills, not only those that are held by the board currently, but ones that people are looking for as well. There are changes to the diversity regime and disclosure of code of conduct breaches. And there are also some interesting changes around director remuneration, which, if nothing else from this discussion, people might be interested in.
Yeah.
We might, if it's okay with you, bounce through those
in a little
bit more detail.
Yeah.
And I think this is an appropriate point just to note that I imagine any listeners will be well familiar with. When we talk about reporting against principles, reporting is done on an if not, why not basis. The companies don't need to follow the recommendations that are made in these principles, but if they don't follow them, they need to tell people why. There need to be disclosure of why a particular principle is not being met.
In the annual report.
Correct, yes, or in their corporate governance statement.
Yeah.
So bouncing through the changes, there's an increased emphasis on stakeholder engagement and consultation. That's always been present in the principles, but there's an increased drive that companies should be liaising with, taking feedback from, and considering the interests of their stakeholders. Who are stakeholders? Excellent question. It's largely left up to the company to identify who they are, but the principles note that this includes not only the shareholders, but also it could be employees of the company, customers, suppliers, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander peoples, local communities, lawmakers, and regulators. They've snuck regulator isn't in there as well, because that, of course, needs to be covered. So it is on the company to identify who the stakeholders are, and there's an increased emphasis on engaging with them and taking their feedback. They've then dialed up disclosure of material risks. Again, it's on the company and the board of directors, to identify what the material risks to their entity are. Material risks, risk disclosure has always been in the principles, but now there's increased emphasis on identifying material environmental, social, and governance risks. Governance is a new item added in. So they're really broadening the disclosure requirements from a narrow focus to a more holistic approach to risk management. There's a general theme of increased climate and sustainability reporting throughout these principles. They don't mention climate disclosure expressly, but there is, particularly in the drafting notes, reference to legislation that is out for consultation at the moment relating to climate-related financial disclosure, which, if listeners haven't covered, I believe Norm Wilcox have put out several articles online about, and that's a reporting regime that's going to be coming in the future. The board skill matrix is another area that's being looked at. There's the proposed recommendations show quite a strong push for developing, assessing, and maintaining the skills of the board. There's always been a recommendation to disclose skills on a whole of board basis. It now is stated that better practice is to state the skills of individual directors, and also to state skills that the board is looking to achieve in the future, as well as how it's going about assessing whether it has met the skill requirements. There are exceptions very clearly for matters where there might be some secrecy involved. So if, for example, a company were looking to acquire someone with an interest, with a skill base in solar energy because they're looking to acquire a small solar company, they wouldn't need to disclose that. Diversity is an area that's changing quite a bit. They're splitting. Now, this is probably only interesting to governance nerds like myself, they're splitting how they deal with diversity into two sections, dealing with the board specifically in one set of recommendations, and then dealing with the workplace generally in another. The one new recommendation requires that entities disclose diversity characteristics beyond just gender, but quite generally what it's considering for board membership. Diversity characteristics such as age, race, background, personal characteristics. There is also a change to targets for board diversity, specifically for the ASX 300. The recommended objectives are at least 40% of the board be women, 40% of the board be men, and up to 20% be of any gender. And this replaces the previous target under the fourth edition of 30% women directors on the board.
Yeah.
That does broadly hit where most companies are at the moment. Depending on what studies you look at and what set of data, it does look like roughly 35 to 38% of directors on ASX 300 boards are women at the moment, which is positive, but obviously there's more work to do in this area, and that's what these recommendations are aimed at. One additional change is a requirement for disclosure of breaches of the code of conduct of the company. So the company has to have a code of conduct. That's been around for a while, but now there's an increased focus on disclosing the outcomes of any actions they take in response to breaches of that code. And this is aimed at promoting culture of transparency and remediation for the company as a whole. One area that might be of particular interest to directors is around remuneration. There's now an express recommendation that listed entities not give performance-based remuneration or retirement benefits to non-executive directors. This was covered in the fourth edition principles. It was tucked away in some commentary. Now it is an express recommendation. The reasoning behind this is that it, in theory, prevents potential biases in decision-making for the non-executive directors and safeguards their objectivity. Yep. When we're talking performance-based remuneration, we're interested there in things like options or performance rights that have some form of performance hurdle for them to be obtained. There is then also a requirement for clawback. So the new proposed recommendation 8.3 requires listed entities to have remuneration structures which can claw back or otherwise limit performance-based remuneration after the award, payment or vesting of those remuneration awards, and also that they disclose on a de-identified basis the use of any such clawback provisions during a particular reporting period. This is designed to enable companies to recoup payments awarded for performance-based remunerations if it later emerges that the decisions or actions underlying those were ethically, legally dubious or driven by personal interests. While clawback is not uncommon in executive contracts, this might be quite interesting to see how companies deal with it. Particularly for smaller companies, it might be quite difficult. It might emphasize a culture of avoidance of risk. So it'll be quite interesting to see how this is dealt with. Some very minor additional changes. There's emphasis on auditors and enhanced disclosure around the tenure of your auditor and review of their appointment, and also verification processes for periodic corporate reporting and how reports that the board are making are being verified.
Chris, thanks very much. That's a fantastic summary.
Thank you for letting me just blabber on.
we could. Maybe we'll do episode two. I see what you mean, that the changes are, evolutionary, not revolutionary. So they're continuing sort of trends from, I suppose, the last 5 years, 10 years. Because I've already forgotten, when did you say the final fifth edition will be released?
It certainly doesn't hurt to say it again. It's anticipated to be at the start of 2025. So it's going to apply to, so companies will need to start reporting against it for financial years starting 1 July 2025 and forward.
Yeah. And do you know, the submissions that are received, are they published as well, or just sort of referred to, or not even referred to?
They are published, unless it's made on a confidential basis, which it is possible to do, but most submissions tend to be freely viewable.
Very good. Chris, thanks again so much. That was fantastic. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed today's episode, then please rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.